You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
This guy's always into something. You knew that when he retired, he wasn't going to be stationary. He was going to go and tackle a whole lot of things, artistic things, business things. So he's got a memoir coming out today, photographic memoir. Dwayne goes on sale today. You can find it wherever books are sold. And one of our favorites, Dwayne Wade, with us here. Thank you for joining us. Why did you end up deciding to do this? Is it you've always had an eye for photography? You've always been somebody who's enjoyed the photo shoots.
Well, first, I wish you said when you started, you said you always knew he was gone. I wish you had told me. This wasn't something that I planned to do. I didn't take the photos. I had a photographer, Bob Metellus, who, you know, was with me for the last, when it started in 2010. Actually, millions of photos, a lot of private moments, a lot of personal moments. And when I put together my last season, this was actually one of the things on the docket for me that I wanted to do. The documentary was one. Coming out with this photographic memoir was the next. So I took over 200 photos that Bob and I have stashed away. And I just wanted to be able to tell my memoir through visuals and not just words on paper.
You show us so much of your life, Dwayne. You really let people in. Why?
I don't know. I don't know if I got a right answer to that. But I guess the biggest reason is because there's understanding when you go through life and you get people who, you know, I get to go out in the world, you know, before COVID and, you know, touch people, and you get to understand that the things that you go through, the things that you speak out on, that you stand up for, it helps so many others, helps so many families. And, you know, I think my family and I, we go through so many things that in our community, people don't understand. Like even some of the symbol of surrogacy. You know, surrogacy is looked at as a Hollywood thing. And so we had to come out and, you know, kind of talk about it. And because a lot of people in our community was like, we don't get it. And so you go through things in life and, you know, I feel like it's a part of my responsibility to share them, to help someone else be better and, you know, maybe use some as inspiration to be inspired by something. Maybe don't do what I did, go the opposite direction. But whatever, you know, just sharing all the things.
Dwayne, which photo are you proudest of? Is there one or two?
It's hard because we hand selected all 200 of them. I have 2 million photos with Bob. Wow. So to go through and pull out 200 other photos was obviously very tough. But I think for me, it depends on when I open a book. You know, every time I open a book, I feel like my eyes lay on a different photo, and it takes me back to that moment. And so I can open a book and see the game winner versus Trevor Ariza in the garden, and it's going to take me right to what was going on, you know, who was on my team, you know, all these things, like who picked me up, Alonzo grabbed me and stuff like that. Like it takes me back.
Dwayne, I've always admired the way that you talk about your relationship. It seems like an extraordinarily strong union. I'd love to know what you've learned or what you've been taught by Gabrielle Union about love and by Zaya, your daughter, about love.
Yeah, you know, I like to think that Zaya told me that love is all the time, that love is every day, and it's not, you know, when you're ready for it. And I say that because, you know, when Zaya comes home at 8 years old and tells us that she's gay, when Zaya comes home at 12 and tells us that she's trans, the confidence that she has in our love, she's, you know, it's been all the time, it's been all day, you know, every day. And so she showed me that it's just not when you want to show love and when you want to show that you care, it's all the time. And so I believe my wife has shown me, you know, through her love and support, and our growth as a family is, you can accomplish anything through love. And she supported me, you know, at my lowest of lows, and has helped build me back up. And so you can accomplish anything with, you know, with a little love, you know, in your life.
What kind of challenges were there for you when you have an 8-year-old come home and tell you that he is gay, and then at 12 years old that she is trans?
Well, the biggest challenge is not knowing anything, you know, when you don't personally have someone in your family that's, you know, affected by anything or go through certain things, you don't take time to learn about them. You don't take time to really care necessarily, because it's not happening to you or it's not happening to your loved ones. And so I never took the time, you know. I think, you know, before Zaya came home at 8 and before she came home at 12, I like to think that I started to, you know, to watch her, to notice, you know, certain things that she would say, to notice certain movements, to notice certain things, to start, you know, asking questions around 6, around 7, or whatever it was. So when she came home, was I surprised? No, not at all. But I wasn't ready neither. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know, you know, anything about the difference from transgender to transsexual. What does that mean? I didn't know, you know, anything about, you know, her gender. Like, what do I say? What do I call you? What do I, like, I'm ignorant in this space. And, you know, I just did what I normally do, just like I would do in sport. I just went to work. You know, I just started asking questions. My wife and I started, you know, reaching out to doctors, you know, trying to get answers, reaching out to Zaya's therapist to try to see what she shared with her. Just all these things, you know, trying to make sure that we didn't sit on the sideline and we actually got in the game. No pun intended.
Did it take you days, weeks? Like, how does that work with acceptance and getting over your patterns and getting past your ignorances so that love can conquer there?
Well, acceptance come in when I held my daughter in the hospital. You know, when I looked at her and I, as a father, I said, these are all the things I'm going to do. I'm going to love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. Acceptance come at that moment. Now, learning and, you know, along this journey, that comes, you know, once she come home and once she tell us, I met my wife right away. You know, after our conversation, we went right upstairs. We got right to it. You know, we got right to reaching out to our friends. We got right to reaching out. You know, the thing in this world that's good, you can DM people. We got right to reaching out to our friends that was on the show Pose, a very popular show that actually Zaya and I watched together for the first time. You just go to work and you just get the work done. And so when you have the next conversation with your child, you have, you know, the right questions to ask. You have the right verbiage, you know, and so forth and so on. So that's what we did.
What'd you learn, Dwayne? What did you both learn, I guess, that helps you understand the most?
Lead with love.
Right.
Everything else you can learn, you know, just lead with love. You know, our hearts for our kids and especially for our daughter Zaya, you know, is full. And so we just led with that. And then everything else we knew, she knew, you know, that this was going to be a journey for all of us. And it was going to be a process. And so we just went down a process, but we went down it together, holding hands as a family.
Is there anything, I know the team was covered and overcovered, but from 2010 to 2014 Miami Heat, is there a story that Dwayne Wade can tell that the expiration date is passed on whatever it is, that the problems that story might cause, that you can tell us that we do not know about the 2010 to 2014 Heat? Any story of your choosing. It could be any one. I'm not choosing. I'm not asking for one. I'm just asking for any of them. It could be Udonis Haslam lighting someone up in practice, any story that nobody knows, because that team was covered a lot and maybe we know all the stories.
Nothing comes to mind.
Oh, come on. You got hundreds. I
mean, don't conceal.
There's a lot of stories that you guys don't know. And I guess, you know what, the thing is if you keep living, stories come out, you know, more and more. So it may come from a different perspective than mine, but right now, I'm living in the bliss of 2010 and 2014. I won two championships, so I have nothing to think about it, but the positives in it. But it, you know, it's hardship in it too. It's not easy. Everybody think it's easy to
well,
play
you
with.
You thought it was going to be easy when you were on that stage. When you were on that stage, you had to thought it was going to. Everyone thought it was going to be easy.
Everyone thought it was going to be easy. What we didn't think about, you know, of course, you know that at some point on the basketball floor, you're going to figure it out. You're too talented not to, right? We were young enough. We wanted to do it, so we was going to figure that part out. But what we wasn't prepared for and ready for was the hate and the media scrutiny that we got. You can't be prepared for that. I mean, I don't think nobody at that point in the recent generation of sports went through something like we went through. So that's what we wasn't prepared for. The struggles to LeBron getting 9 turnovers because he, you know, I'm cutting back door and he's trying to hit me in the corner. That just takes time. But I'm sure it's a lot of stories, man. We had a lot of tough days. When you're trying to win, it is not fun. it has a lot of days that are not fun. So I'm sure it was. But overall, nothing but positive thoughts.
The memoir is out today, photographic memoir. He picked himself the 200 photos. It's called Dwayne, and it goes on sale today. Can you tell us, because I don't know that you've spoken about this publicly or not, Mickey Arison said you were offered a portion of the Miami Heat, that he was disappointed that you weren't someone who chose the ownership of the Miami Heat. How did you make that choice to go to Utah with ownership instead of here in Miami?
Yeah, you know, obviously, whenever you're making a decision, whether it's business and it has some personal ties to it, it's going to be a tough emotional decision. But for me, I've always tried, just like Mickey and just like, you know, their family, you know, you try to make your business decisions based on, you know, what's best for you business wise. And the personal side of me, yeah, I love Miami. The personal side of me, I'm connected to it. My heart is there forever. The business side of me, you know, my relationship with Ryan Smith and, you know, my opportunity and my growth here on this side of the world was just, it was different. And it's something I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to, Dan, I wanted my 16-year career and everything that happened in Miami. I kind of wanted to leave it as it is. You know, I didn't want to bring any more, you know, any more hardship to it or any more of this or any more expectations. I signed the contract. I did my obligations. I retired. And now I'm in my business life as a businessman, and I'm going to make decisions, and the decisions is going to be personally for me. And this was the best decision personally for me.
Why was that the best business decision, or was it just a personal decision? Like, were the finances better, or was there something else involved? Or
no, could it have to be able, you know, the one thing is too, man, it's like this is a long journey out here. And for me, and like I said, my relationship with Ryan, and, you know, we built some over the years of, you know, I really wanted to get into the tech space. And, you know, we started a relationship years ago. And, you know, to be able to grow with, Ryan's 42, man. You know, the other owner, Ryan, is 41. And the other owner, Mike, is 41. And so for me and guys that I've already been talking about business with, already doing business with, this is just another part of the portfolio. I've never did business with the Miami Heat. I've only been a player. And so sometimes, you know, as a player, you know, it's so many different things and so many emotions you go to. So for me, I wanted to clear those out, and I want to be able to focus on the next phase of my life as a businessman and not bring anything from being a player over to the side.
But you're a conqueror, and your wife's a bit of a conqueror. And I imagine as a power couple that you don't want a small percentage of a team for now. Like, you're also thinking,
are you recruiting me? Is this a recruitment?
Well, I feel like the way LeBron is buying things up, that Dwayne doesn't want to be a minority partner, that eventually Dwayne wants, like, I figure you guys want to own teams.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that one day. You know, right now, LeBron's still playing basketball. Dwayne Wade is into his third year of retirement. Like I said, this was the best stuff for me at this point. You know, you always want to grow, of course. Just like Ryan Smith wanted to own a team, of course, Dwayne Wade would love to own a team. I need a lot more money to do that. And so I got to go off and build my wealth. So, you know, that's what I'm on this side doing.
Dwayne, I have to ask you this, because Dan and I have been doing the show for 20 years. We love you. I'm telling you, Dan respects the hell out of you, but I need to ask you, how much of a part did Dan play in running you out of town?
Oh, my God.
Come on, Dwayne.
Oh, God, no.
Give me a percentage.
Dwayne, don't do that to me in Miami, Dwayne. Do not do that to me in Miami. God, no.
Not at all, man.
Oh, come on.
You know, when you're a player, though, you are a little sensitive to certain things people say. you know. And now that I'm on this side and I'm on the TV too, Dan is great. Dan has been actually pretty good to me. So I'm okay with it, man. I didn't leave Miami because of Dan. Dan ain't got that much power.
Just a little though.
Again, check out the memoir, photographic memoir. He has always had an eye for the artistic. Thank you, Dwayne. I think and I hope that you know how much we have admired you. And somehow, and I say this sincerely, I really do, you have somehow been as a man in teaching us things that need to be taught during this time, from Trayvon Martin to your own household. You have been every bit the man that you have been as a basketball player, which is a startling thing to say given the basketball player you were. So thank you for making the time for us, as always.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And to all my Miami fans out there, I'll see you guys on November 18th. I'll be there. See you guys soon.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Don Lebatard.
What did Stugatz just text you, Mike? While Bob Costas was talking very eloquently about the things that are producing anxiety in America and beyond, what did he text you?
Yeah, during your enlightened conversation, I got a text from Stugatz that said, Todd Gurley Ravens, to which we all had to search for what he meant, because there's no report saying that Todd Gurley signed with the Ravens. He was just texting me about a visit Todd Gurley is presently having with the Baltimore Ravens.
According to Adam Schefter, I think it's a one-year deal now, Mike, so he gets a chance to prove himself again. Right, it's a big deal, Mike. Todd Gurley to the one-year Ravens.
Prove it. I love a one-year
prove-it deal.
Stugatz.
It's just, so he says it was Adam Schefter. So I look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, couldn't find anything. Jess went and tracked down the tweet. Mm-hmm. Here are the red flags on this account. One, the handle, Spots Centra.
But you realize you can read that very, very quickly and think it's, you know, it's...
Mistake number one. Mistake number two, there was no check mark. It was that thing that people do to try and fool people of the white circle that kind of looks like the check mark, but is not. Sign number three, the avatar... It's the SportsCenter logo, but in fairly sizable print above it is the word not. All the red flags, and yet Stugatz is still going. Todd Gurley, Ravens buddy.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Mike, you're not going to believe this. I walk out of the studio, and there's Stugatz with not a smile on his face, not a sense of irony whatsoever. Stugatz is wearing Greg Cody out, a Greg Cody who's not listening, giving him advice, unsolicited, unwanted, unasked for advice,
right,
on how to take care of his voice.
Yes, yeah, salt water.
With great expertise, he's coming over and he's sipping salt water and with no irony whatsoever, right. He's telling Greg Cody what he needs to do. Greg Cody is not listening to him, not paying attention, is going to continue to mistreat the one thing we need around here.
Let me please just address this for a second. Not Greg Cody, okay? What's going on with me? I appreciate George Sedano's concern. I appreciate everyone's concern. I myself am concerned. To suggest I'm doing nothing about it is absurd. It is ludicrous.
Right, because... Now I'm doing something about it.
During the break, you were drinking salt water and you were telling Greg, look how much better my voice sounds. Mike, with no sense of irony, right. He just said to me under his breath, speaking privately in the studio, I don't know what took me so long to do it, but it has helped me.
To go see a doctor, too. So I have, listen, the stuff that, you know, perhaps I would be worried about, or you as listeners of the show would be worried about, because you care about us, you care about me. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. We have checked the boxes. I am fine. Okay. I've been to two doctors now. Now, I'm not saying,
what are the boxes? Are we checking?
You know,
the big stuff?
If people are worried about, yeah, they're worried about the big ticker. They're worried about the set of lungs. They're worried about the throat. They're worried. Yeah, the big C, which I don't want to say. Okay. Now, listen, perhaps I let the smoking get away from me just a little bit.
during the pandemic.
Well, after my mom passed away, it's a very stressful time. I'm being honest with the audience. And I needed something, a vice, to deal with what it is that I, or what it was, and what it continues to be, that I am going
is,
through.
Is, was, and continues to be.
I'm not certain if I'm speaking proper English, but that's always been normal for me.
Of vices. Right?
But I'm just addressing this because enough people have expressed their concern. We are trying to get to the bottom of it. I sound better today than I did yesterday. I sound better this hour than I sounded last hour. My hope is I will sound better tomorrow than I do today. I have gotten rid of the heaters. It's been difficult. I am moody.
Do we
will smell my hand today and tell me it still smells like it's going to take a good year to get all that off of me.
I can confirm your statement that you're moody.
Yes.
I heard you muttering. Yeah. Mike only thinks his sports takes are right.
That was yesterday. Yeah. Oh, I needed one bad yesterday, man. And so what I did was lash out at you. I mean, I'm going to smoke you. That's what I'm going to do. Because so listen,
is that a threat or are you an HR violation?
That's a weird visual.
So Mike's going to smell my hand every day, and I'm telling you, a year from now, it's still going to smell. What?
You just washed him.
I did. But I didn't have a heater. Mike, I have not left these studios in 2 days. You've noticed.
The idea of smelling somebody else's fingers is just awful to me. That could be a grin of death punishment for me, and I wouldn't want to do it.
It's a fair point,
Chris,
by you.
I am finding, I don't know what just happened to me, but I felt less alone looking at you because there is something that is causing me great disgust about not just Mike Ryan wandering around smelling fingers, but smelling those fingers that are a little shorter. They're sausages. They're hairy. You don't know where they
spin.
Excuse
me, but what are you guys doing to help this situation? Get off the bench and get in the game.
Yeah, Mike is in the game. He is in the trenches with me. He is checking on me on a daily basis to make sure I haven't smoked.
Mike, I'm saluting you. I am complimenting you for being able to go bravely as a producer where I'm too disgusted to go, and I find comfort and soothing in the fact that Chris Killen can't go there either. I am palpably disgusted.
It's worse
every
than,
time yeah. you come in here and smell his fingers.
Speaking of disgusting places to go, the garage that we park in every day. I have not gone there into Mike. I have not gone out there in
that's
2 days.
That's where he gets the heaters.
That's where I have the heaters.
That's where he gets the secret heaters. It's got to be one of the saddest visuals anywhere in American visuals, honestly. Stu got smoking a heater in that bathroom in that dirty garage with his short fingers.
Oh, it's the worst. I mean, I have never felt worse about myself except when I buy weed at a flea market. I mean, 2-block radius.
The cigarettes are longer than your fingers are. Right. That's a factual statement.
So, no question about it, especially the 100s.
It makes for a really odd visual.
Yeah, so what we've discovered here, me and my doctor.
Wait a minute.
My doctor.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. sadder visual. Stugatz smoking a heater at the Clevelander garage, or Stugatz buying porn at the flea market. Go ahead. I mean,
a little smut. I mean,
wow. Could be the first 50-50 vote.
Smut.
It is tough. It is a tough. I love Stugatz just going through and browsing before buying at the flea market on the porn.
You haven't experienced real joy, Dan, until you turn a magazine to the side and you take the pullout out. I mean, you just haven't done it. Yeah.
Put this on the poll as well, too, at
Lebatard
Show.
It just falls out.
Have you experienced real joy before
before the magazine pin-up falls out.
So anyway, I have been dealing a cologne sample, like a really nice cologne sample, right before it falls out, just to get you in the mood, you know?
In the mood? Mood for what? In the mood to be attracted.
You never did that? You know, like a cheap porn magazine, little smut, and you take the cologne sample, you spread it all over your neck, Kevin.
No.
No? You should try it. You haven't lived yet. Okay. I mean.
All right. I'll wait to live. Thank you. We can.
Simple pleasures of life, Dan, in a flea market. So I will just tell the audience that is concerned about me, okay? I've been dealing with a sluggish thyroid for, I don't know, 12 years. And I've been taking a medication called Synthroid for about 12 years. It doesn't work. It makes my body sore. It makes me tired. I think Dan had experience with this. And I am seeking a different medication because the one I'm taking, I can't function correctly. And so because I'm off the medication, I am phlegmier. And I'm not, listen, the heaters don't help. What I do at night when I get home does not help at all. I am acknowledging that, right? The dead shows do not help. The drinking doesn't help. Any time spent in the flea market doesn't help. Okay.
This is a good apology.
All the free cologne samples certainly not helping. Okay. But I'm without my medication right now because I will not take something that's going to make my body feel the way it has felt.
For 12 years.
For 12 years.
You are taking it. You've taken it probably too long.
I am done taking it. I have put my foot down on Synthroid. I'm not saying it's bad.
You did say it's bad already.
It might be good for some people. It's not good for me. It makes my body hurt.
Okay? Let's get out of your medical history.
I wanted to address it. People are concerned, and I appreciate
it. They are very concerned.
Thank you. I addressed it. We've checked off all the major stuff.
Always listening. It's just part of the
unspoken contract. Why have you told us to listen so many times during this segment?
I'm not certain.
Yeah. Greg Cody, what's your excuse for your voice?
Well, listen, people who wonder, I take care of myself like you wouldn't believe.
You don't drink any water.
I have a phalanx of
water's
doctors.
Water's bad.
Water's not bad.
Now, listen, this is what I've learned. Look it up, okay? Water is bad. Sometimes water, yes, water, you should keep your mouth hydrated.
Sometimes water is bad when you're drowning.
Well, Dan, I'm just telling you, in Greg's case, it could, for a moment there, he drinks it. I know what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
You drink it, and the phlegm starts to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just sitting at work and drink water, that's fine. You don't have to speak into a microphone. If you have to drink water and then speak into a microphone right after, you are running the risk, I am telling you, of just being very, very phlegmy for about 15 seconds. Right. And then it goes away.
Yeah, water's overrated.
Yeah.
100%.
Look, nobody can solve my intermittent voice issues. I canned my ENT because he was no help to me. But
you fired your ENT?
Yeah. But you mentioned earlier that I wasn't listening or wasn't appreciating Stugatz's advice when he told me to gargle with salt water. It's up here, and I'm going to do it when I get home. He had me at salt. I mean, Christopher will tell you, I love me some salt, even if it's in water.
But why wouldn't you do it here when it can improve your voice while we're doing the show, not to have a good voice tonight when you get home and you're not helping us?
I don't think it's a panacea. I think if I did it right now, it wouldn't be any instant
help. He's telling you that it's already helped his voice during the show. Why are you never looking for how it is you might be able to help our show?
Because here's a concern of mine. He mentioned you gargle with salt water. I am unable to gargle.
Let's try.
Okay. Oh, wow.
No, let's try it.
No, well, now he can't do it.
No, it's hard.
Because of my GERD,
let's try
I am
it.
Unable to gargle.
We're going
to
try it here with Lewis and your son. Let's go. You're going outside.
Thing if
we
you
need
have
to fix your voice live on air. Come on, get out of here. Please go. Please go outside.
This is worse than the pepper.
Please get out of here.
This could be ugly.
It's tricky.
Because of your GERD.
What if it goes down the wrong pipe, Dan?
Please stop putting the headphones on.
We lose him.
That's
Mike wants the headsets off of the...
It's a weirdest habit. He thinks that, like, I get so much feedback on that.
Right.
Mike.
I don't think it's a weird habit.
Greg Cody actively does things that do not care about anything we're doing around here. He does not care about making the show better. He does not care about anything other than himself. And so he will continue to not learn as an old person. And there, Mike, there is great learning for you here as someone who now has a child and has a father who has annoyed you for 10 and 20 years. This last bit with him, whether it's the next 5 years or the next 30 years, is going to be an endless test of your patience. An endless test. This is not going to get any better. No, but what I'm saying is to complain about him putting the headset on the microphone is to complain about, why don't you take care of your voice some? It would be good if you sounded okay. But this is how it's going to be the rest of the way with Greg Cody and with Stugatz.
Because I think it's considerate, the headphones on the microphone, so it doesn't fall, possibly break.
Why are you throwing me into the Greg Cody bucket there? I am making efforts and I just explained myself very clearly as to what's going on.
You don't have the moral high ground for doing this for 12 hours, okay?
What do you mean?
You've righted your wrongs that we've been begging for months. You've started yesterday.
Right.
You can't talk about it like it's in the past. No,
I don't want any applause. I started last week, as a matter of fact.
You don't have the moral high ground here, Stu.
I'm not saying that I did. I started.
You're going to have to prove it.
I started last week. I'm trying to.
Your voice was crap at the start of today's show.
And you would acknowledge it's better right now.
Your fingers smelled bad yesterday.
Because you decided to take salt water.
Thank
you. Not even 12 hours. It's like minutes ago. You want the credit for the moral.
Do what I have to do.
A moral high ground that you arrived at seconds ago.
Yeah, it was a little cold this morning, too, by the way. So, listen, I'm just taking measures. I'm doing.
You're doing it in the playoffs, guy, and you want credit for 12 hours of work.
No.
12 minutes.
Listen, we'll see if it continues into next week and the following week and into the winter and, you know, through the new year and into the spring and into the summer. Oh, God, I'm going to Mexico. I got 6 dead shows in 11 nights. Oh, my God. It was a bad time to quit. It just dawned on me. But I'm seriously taking measures to try to fix this because a couple things. My health means a lot to me. My family means the most to me. This job means a lot to me. And I want to be healthy. And so I'm not saying I was unhealthy. Okay. I'm not saying I was unhealthy. I'm telling you, this is a medication and a sluggish thyroid issue. And I'm trying to fix it. Okay. That's all I can tell you.
Which of those four is most important? The family you said was most important.
Which four did I say?
I think you said your health.
Right.
Your job. Your
health.
Family, you said, was most important.
He's health. Writing it down.
And then there was something else.
I think it was just those
job,
three. It was the show,
family,
the family, and health. Yes.
Right. I left sports out.
Jets out. Chris. Chris is exasperated dealing with his father.
How about where does rooting for the failure of others land on there?
It's certainly in the top.
It's top
4.
10 for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like when others fail.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like
Stugatz is a supportive teammate.
No, we have agendas.
No. I want you guys to succeed. I want everyone on the show to succeed.
Just
I
root
for
enemies.
Other people. Yeah, like
we
I'm not.
Enemies.
You think I'm rooting for McAfee?
you want McAfee?
He's your enemy?
No,
I'm not exactly rooting for him.
McAfee is your enemy, though. You've turned him into. Since when did he become your enemy?
Since he said no to coming on my podcast. He didn't even respond. Yeah. I mean, how about some respect? I mean, geez. I mean, you're either with me or against me. I mean,
take a side.
Like McAfee would come on this show, the platforms, we would share it with him. We promote him. I asked him to come on my podcast. Says he doesn't respond. Ghost me. It's amazing.
Your voice is sounding better.
Yeah.
Thank you. Salt water, I'm telling you,
Chris,
guys.
Chris, how did that go with Greg Cody while you guys were out there? Did he successfully gargle?
It was just a classic example of him saying something, and then we finally got him to do what he said he couldn't do. And he can do it. Go ahead, Dad. Gargle for the people.
Well, first of all, it's the reason. I didn't used to be able to gargle when I'm not on my GERD medication, but McGillicuddy gave me a new script for omeprazole. Mm. And so I'm all omeprazoled out. Which
is that
means,
one of the side effects?
Yes.
That increases
that you
gargling?
Can't gargle?
Right. Yeah. You can't gargle.
Read
because
it.
Because when you're not on your medication, like I wasn't for a long time, things like swallowing and gargling sometimes they're difficult. You get almost like a reflux.
Did you just burp?
Action. Yeah. No, you get like a reflux.
Show the people. Gargle.
I mean, I can gargle now. Yeah.
Yes, right. We need the audio reward.
Yeah. That a boy.
Hell, that's a miracle.
That's a good gargle.
Gargling it.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.